coming to you live from the studios of Bumma Bipra Media via the National Indigenous Radio Service, is the Kayaf Hour.
Don't force a handsaw when you're cutting wood, you know. Originally, my parents are from Murray Island.
I'd like to thank my elders.
Getting my way prepared for Kayaf this year.
Bringing you daily yarns with daily artists from the Cape and the Torres Straits. The Kayaf Hour.
You are tuned into Bumma Bipra Radio 98.7 FM. This is Carly Willis, and I am here today yarning with Cairns Indigenous Art Fair artist Aubrey Sambo. It's a beautiful day here. We're actually in the Botanical Gardens having a yarn. And for our listeners who may not already be familiar with you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Aubrey, and where you're from and what you do?
Okay. Originally, my parents are from Murray Island. My dad is an elder, and he's also from the Meram tribe of Murray Island. And my mother, she's a Dawarep tribe from the island of Dawar. And my father's totem is the tiger shark, and also the white booby bird. What we call our language is Komagaigai. And my mother is the Nam, the turtle, the green turtle, and also Wada, which is a frigate bird, a black frigate bird. It's got a red just under its neck and on its chest, and that's a totem. And I actually reside in Townsville and have been living there for over 20 years after relocating from Thursday Island, Murray Island. I came down to Townsville, and that's where, in Townsville, pretty much where I began practicing my art from around about 2006-2007 is when I sort of started getting my stuff out to the general public. And before that time, I was just pretty much helping out my dad doing his artworks. And here I am today now as an established artist, Indigenous artist of North Queensland. Yeah.
And what sort of mediums do you work in, or what's been your journey as an artist?
Well, beginning as an artist, one of my favourite artists was your granddad, Big McGrath. I admired his work. He was so delicate in his work and so precise, and I could sit there for a long time, you know, just looking at his work and how he produces his pearl shell carvings. And and pretty much that's where I, you know, from looking at that work, I think he was probably the only pearl shell carver that I'd known. And that's where it sort of took a turn in my life, where I started doing pearl shell carvings. It's like, you know, the tools have they think for themselves. And the mediums like wood, pearl, stone, they think for themselves. If you'd ask any type of carpenter, he will tell you, you know, you don't force a handsaw when you're cutting wood, you know. Just let it go by itself. Like, it knows what it's doing. So that's where I sort of picked things up over the years, is not just being a good talented artist, but knowing the tools you're working with. So so one of my artists that I've known, like, was your granddad, Vic McGrath. I admired his work. I love looking at his stuff on books, and him as an artist. Even when he walks in the street, I'm like, oh, that's Vic McGrath. That's, no, that's not Jonathan Thurston. That's Vic McGrath. I always admired him, and that's where I took up pretty much the art and pearl shell carving and carving wood, and just doing stuff for general house, you know, putting it on the shelf and wearing it as a pendant. And that's when people said, oh, where'd you get that from? No, I made it. Can you make one for me? So it sort of went like that, and that's when it started. Oh, okay, well, I can make some money here. So yeah, so I went from pearl shell carvings and to wood. I'm practicing on stone carvings, and I went to actually make my own headdress, the dari. I never made a dari for myself, or a full dari. I was always most helping out my dad. And it was when I got into the swing of things in 2009 and 10, and it somehow spiritually connected to it from my bloodline, and also as a Meriam person, that when I produced my first dari, the best dari makers that I know, there are many other dari makers, but two that influenced me was my dad and my big uncle, Benny Father, or Benny Father. They were influential to me, and they were the best dairy makers that I knew. They make stuff for us all the time. That when I did take it up, somehow they started feeling, you know, weak and ill. And I knew straight away at that time was this baton was passed to me. And it was for me to take it up. And I knew that this is the time for me to actually rise. So when I did do that, my uncle Benny's father sat down with my dad and said, Aubrey's going to take over from us now. And that's it for us. His work is just amazing. And that's where I took that baton from them. And we call it in our language, we call it Tamir. Tamir is a star club that is passed down from one generation to the other, to the other, to the other. It's not just passed in its own way. It's connected spiritually. And that's when the Tamir was handed down to me, my elders lost their practice. They started, you know, their hands started getting weak. They started, their health actually declined and couldn't work with things like adhesives and all that sort of thing. And I got a diary and I went to masks, making masks and all that sort of thing. And so as an artist now, beginning from a pearl shell carving, admiring Granddad Vic McGrath, your granddad's work, and to where I pretty much really admired influential people, and they were part of my life and as an artist. And
Surrounded by
artists. Granddad Kent Aide, Granddad Kenny Aide. When I did become into the professional arena here in Canopy Art Space in Cairns, with my first contact with Kaya, he was the one that drove me, you know, keep going forward, don't stop, keep going again.
You know, your works have been exhibited overseas, I read.
Yeah.
And all around Australia.
Mm.
But, you know, what does Kayak mean to you, and what excites you about Kayak?
Kaya, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, it's a bigger spotlight arena. It's exposure for Indigenous artists. Especially when you're a new artist like me, when I began, I'm just talking about that. I'm getting goosebumps.
I know, I was
talking about the beginning.
It's really moving,
and I'm just getting goosebumps just mentioning it from day one when I came to Kaya. Kaya is like a rocket launcher for Indigenous art practice as an artist. It stirs you up. It gives you pride. It gives you, to you, no matter what your background is as an Indigenous artist or as an Indigenous person, even if you're not an artist, just walking into Kaya itself and looking at all the artworks, you're proud telling them, oh, you know, I'm proud to be an Australian. Mm. I'm proud to be an Indigenous Australian.
Yeah.
Looking at Aboriginal artworks and Torres Strait artworks is powerful. You know, our story is deep. Our story is connected to land, air, and sea. And we are connected, you know, in this circle of life, I guess, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island people. And it's all about exposing ourselves, our art practice, and not only that, telling of our struggles as well.
Mm.
And yeah, that's what Kaya means to me. It's just it's a huge spotlight.
And what do you think about it moving to a digital platform? You know, usually it's already a huge platform that gets, you know, national attention, and thousands of people usually come through Cairns. Mm. Like, now with this digital landscape, you know, a lot of the conversation is maybe it's going to reach all over the world. Has that hit you? Have you thought about that? Or
yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Well, two sides of the coins to this one. Firstly, for me as an Indigenous artist, and for my work, and I believe every artist would probably say the same thing. You know, they love people to stand there and actually admire your work. You know, right in front of their eyes, and to have a look at it themselves. And but it's mainly for the general public, so whoever walks in, you know, and can have a look and be admired by all this, maybe at the general opening or throughout the Kaya. But you know, producing a virtual studio Kaya is pretty much taking this to an unknown boundary. And
yeah.
When I say unknown boundary, I mean like this is the world. we don't know as artists who is out there, who's looking at our stuff. We don't even know that.
Yeah.
And there are people in overseas gallery museums and curators and artists and art collectors and that are worldwide. You know, they can't be here at Kaya in the weekend or those couple of days. But hey, you know, they're sitting back in the computer looking at it and they can actually see everything virtual just by touch of a button. And for me, virtual is just wow. You know, it'll be great in Kaya for hopefully this coronavirus thing is over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could go actually virtual.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, publicly.
Yeah, and so that'll we can hold on to that next year. Yes. Yeah, that's what everyone...
Hold on to next year, So Kaya could be, and not only that, it'll be promoting Kaya itself and, exposing to the world.
Can you give us a little hint as to, you know, the artworks that you'll be bringing to the exhibition this year? Maybe some of the stories that they might tell or what they might mean to you?
Give a little hint. I'm actually producing works now, mainly connected to land, that is connected to sea, and that is connected to air in our Meriam culture, and telling stories of our creation time, of our evolution from where we were to where we are now as Meriam people. And also a part of my voice now that I'm actually exposing now in my art practice that I've decided to take this up was to voice my opinions about oppression that my family of Mer faces, and that is from being oppressed by our land, you know, being dispossessed, you know, being under dispossession, and how the fight with Granite Eddie Koiki Mabo, to where it comes through and started facing these opponents, and pretty much the government itself putting its foot and standing on the head of Mabo, and now we are getting oppressed, that we need to, you know, get our land back. And that's part of what my storytelling and my artworks.
You've driven a really long way to be here today, so thank you for taking time out to have a yarn with us.
Yep.
I guess I just thought I would say, is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything else you'd like to let our audiences at Boomer Bipper Media know or put out there or say about Kaya?
Yes, to all the listeners out there, there was a, you know, we face hardships, especially as Indigenous people, you know, financially, materially, socially, emotionally, and all that attacks us, and it, you know, as individuals and our families, and you know, we struggle as we do financially to meet costs of things that are, you know, of bills and food and kids in schools and all that sort of thing. Is that's pretty much what I faced as having a family and being out and loss of jobs, and where I struggled. And I'll say this, that, you know, being raised as a Christian by my parents, they were Christian orientated parents too as well. They taught me, you know, in their struggles, you know, to pray. And it was when I sort of went down to the deepest part of my life where I asked God, you know, what do I do from here? And there was only five words that came from this unknown source. I believe that God was there, said to me, what is in your hand? And I opened the palm of my hand and I looked in the palm of my hand. And as soon as I opened it up, it was like a television screen opened up in the palm of my hand. And I could see my nurturing years, how I grew up with cultural teachings, with dancing, with doing artworks, and I grew up in that culture, knee high, and I saw everything. I saw my life actually played to me on my hand, and straight away I knew that my answer was, and God said to me, why are you looking for financial help when I placed it right under your nose? And that's where I say to all my listeners out there, whoever's listening here, God has placed something. It's right under your nose. Don't abuse it, but stir that gift that God has given you. And we need more Indigenous artists out here to promote our art, culture, our lifestyle, our heritage to the world. Love to see you all, new artists, next year.
You are tuned into Boomer Bipro Radio 98.7 FM.
You are listening to the Kayaf Hour on BBM 98.7 FM.
One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. That's what we are. One generation from a warrior. That's what we are. One generation from a warrior. Generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. That's what we are. One generation from a warrior. That's what we are. Our fathers were warriors, their fathers before them. But though we're now civilized, our hearts are not far from them. 'Cause we're one generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior, that's what we are.
One generation from a warrior,
that's what we are. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior, that's what we are.
One generation from a warrior,
that's what we are. Now that we know where our people come from, we found our identity, our spirit lives on and on. Shabit got a rub-a-dub style, island warrior, but we plan all wild. Listen to the beat, to the rhyme, to the rhythm. We gon' make you jump, kakar, now you get him. To kick a raga in a natty vibration. We are the children of the next generation. Coming to you with a positive style. All simply, I'm the warrior, but me plan no while. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior. That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
Yes, that's what we are. Fathers were warriors, their fathers before them. But though we're not civilized, our hearts are not far from them. 'Cause we're one generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
That's what we are. One generation from a warrior. Generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
Yes, that's what we are.
Saying no, we got is the loving and the memories are not because you can't resist, because you know you're loving and not really covered. It's all they become, me become back. No, because you know it's giving up from the back. Insisting in the island styles. Only while all them up on wall, I send up people upon you love when.
Yo, this is Kino from the band Big Mountain. You are listening to BBM 98.7 FM.
Hi, this is Carly Willis and you are tuned into Boomer Bipra Media 98.7 FM. I am here today yarning with Cairns Indigenous Art Fair artist Heather Kawutha. We are sitting in the Tanks Art Centre checking out the Undercurrents exhibition, which will be open from Sunday, July 12th until Sunday, August 30. Heather, welcome.
Hello.
Would you be able to tell our audiences a little bit more about you, who you are, where you're from, and what it is that you do?
First of all, I'm a woman from Yarraba. My mother's people is Jaba Yiidi, and my father's side is he's from Wikmunkan, and my artwork is based on my upcoming, you know, bringing me up the way they brought me up, and they taught me a lot of lessons. That's my aim with my artwork. I wanted to do the stories and bit of histories from my mum and dad's teaching, and I'm happy to be here today to speak to everyone. I'm getting my work prepared for Kayap this year, and I hope you enjoy my works and my some of my stories.
Thank you, Heather. Can you describe to us some of the artworks that you'll be exhibiting this year at Kayap, and what sort of stories you'll be telling through those artworks?
Well, first of all, I've been filmed and going to talk to medias to capture my explanations about my work and what's going to happen for this year in Kayap.
Yeah, I saw that you were being filmed by some television crew. Can you tell Boomer Bipra about those artworks as well?
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. So two pieces of work that I have for this year, Kayap, is the landlady and... the queen and the landlord. That's... it's two pieces of work with a sense of humour, because most of my works are based on sad stories and my upcoming. I hope that everyone enjoys my two pieces of work. And I've illustrated these two pieces of work because I felt that the queen, she... usually she used to come into Australia and go back to England, you know, visit. But in my piece of work is that wouldn't it be great if she go out to the outbacks and see what Australia's really like? Mm. And, you know, because most of the time she's in the city, and because I know that many other royalties come over to Australia and they go to East Rock. But this piece of work that I'm doing is about her visiting a piece of land outside of the city, you know, that the landlord that she hired to find a nice place for her to see. But it happened at Tina that he did the wrong thing. He, the real estate man, went to a swamp area where there's a lot of wild Australian animals, and some of them were they were laughing at the landlord because the queen got very angry, and these animals, some just based on the animals, Australian animals, and bush life as well, and that if she come out to the outback, she would know what the, and small communities to see, you know, especially out in the wildlife, to see what's need to be done for Indigenous people and the lifestyle, what they love, you know. And but she was angry with the landlord because he picked the worst piece of land for her to go to. And it was swarmed with crocodiles and many other animals that, yeah, scared her. But there's, she usually comes around, travel around with her two corgis. But in this picture, in the piece that I've illustrated with her and some of the Australian animals, she have two koalas in their penguin suit.
Oh, penguins.
Yes.
in the swamp.
Yep.
That well, is funny.
And the Big Ben in the background, and there's some ancestors of early settlers and indigenous settlers. You know, indigenous ancestors that are illustrated in the background. They're looking down, you know, at the queen and the landlord man.
Are they laughing? Or?
Yeah, some are laughing and some are not. So, yeah, it's just how I felt what it would be if the queen do go out and visit the wildlife of Australia.
Yeah. That's, I really love that. And what sort of mediums or what sort of materials do you use in these artworks?
Basically, I'm doing printing with ink and oil. The paste pad is a clear plastic plate that we use to scratch on and to work with the ink and oil with special machines.
Yeah.
So, just to print on papers, special papers.
Yeah. And what are you most excited about for KIAF 2020?
I'm just thinking about this year's a bit of a change because of there's been pandemic through the pandemic times, I felt that it's a bit isolated. It's isolating people, and many of those past KIAF exhibitions, we used to have big crowds and people doing all their so many activities and displaying their works and,
I guess with the online platform, some of the discussions are, it could go global. With online platforms, quite often it can reach people that, we haven't reached before. So, how do you feel about that? Has that hit you like that? Maybe it'll reach people overseas. We don't know.
Well, I hope that these recording and filming will give the message right across the world to reach out to people that never been to Australia to see the indigenous art.
And maybe even some people who can't, who are isolated, like you said, and they can't come here. Maybe they'll be able to see it.
Yep, I hope so because there were some people that wanted to buy some stuff of me, but during the pandemic times they couldn't. So now things are getting back, back to normal a bit. People are starting to, getting interested in buying some stuff.
And over the years, because you've been an artist for a really long time, very experienced, what's been your journey with art? Where has it taken you?
Well, my experience with finding out these past few years and doing a bit more studying working, and it's more like an hobby to me, but I think it's going a bit more further than that. So I'm hoping for you know, more piece of work that I'm going to work on, and hope that they're going to satisfy people's curiosity and that they'll be comfortable and happy about it.
So over the years, art has just been something you've done for a hobby to begin with, and now it's sort of taken off a bit. What does art, what does your art mean to you? What does doing your art mean to you? Do you feel relaxed by doing it? Do you, like, what does it mean to you?
Oh, first of all, it's, you know, I've been doing art since I was a little girl, you know, drawing and stuff like that, and it sort of made me happy when I first did some paintings and stuff at kindy, and it was one of my interests, so it sort of stayed with me ever since. Now today, things, it's just like, you know, when I've got nothing to do, then I'll get on to doing artwork, and it relaxes me. It's sort of like, you know, looking back in my past, and sort of like, you know, it's like I'm recording myself or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And then I look back, you know, from where I started and what I grew up with, and it's sort of like something that I can grab whenever I need to, and when I'm, I suppose it's got something to do with my feelings as well, and it goes on to my work and expressions and stuff like that, especially if I'm, well, I reckon that it'll, artwork is good when you're lonely too as well. It's just like, you know, when you're doing jigsaw puzzles or, you know, some other interesting things that make you happy. Yeah.
And where did you learn to do art? You just picked it up really young?
Yeah. Yep.
And do you have a website or anywhere that we can find your works?
At Canopy Art Centre.
Okay, yeah. So head over Canopy Arts, and people can also, obviously, it's being exhibited in Kayaf, and you've also got some works at Canopy Arts as well.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Is there anything else that you want to add for listeners out there? Maybe you've got some family or friends listening, or you want to give a shout out to anyone?
My advice is that I'm hoping that there's some other people out there who's wanting to do the same as me and many other artists. If they're interested, don't sit back and, you know, just let it go by. Just get up and go and, you know, get your canvas, your paint and your paintbrush, or your drawing pencil and sketching books and stuff like that, because a lot of people said that they like to do some artwork, and some got good talents, and they're hiding it. Don't just sit back. My good advice is just get up there and do it.
Yeah.
Don't just talk about it and don't do nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you never know where it will take you.
Yeah.
Maybe they just do it for themselves as well.
Yeah.
Like you said, make you happy.
Yep. Well, if I can do it, they can do it too. And so many other artists did it too. So that's my advice.
Thank you very much, Heather. Been a pleasure talking to you. And I look forward to, we all look forward to seeing your works in the virtual galleries and our KIAF exhibition. Have a great day.
You too.
You are listening to the KIAF Hour on BBM 98.7 FM.
Hey, what up, everybody? This is Manchi Priest, and don't forget, you listen to Bama Bibra 98.7 FM. Don't touch that dial.
Hi, this is Carly Willis. You are tuned into Bama Bibra Media 98.7 FM, and I'm here today yarning with Kayaf artist Rhonda Wooler, a Wick woman from Arakoon. Welcome, Rhonda. How are you going today?
Good, thank you, Kylie. How are you?
Very good, thank you. So, Rhonda, can you tell us a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, and what it is that you do?
Well, I'm Rhonda Wooler. I'm from Arakoon. Born and raised there, pretty much lived there all my life. And I have the art that I do is, it's just phenomenal, I guess. I'd like to thank my elders, past and present, and mostly my mom for passing down all this beautiful knowledge that I'm proud of sharing it, hopefully, to the world one day. But yeah, the art, I don't know, I just love doing my art, my weaving.
And you've travelled all the way to Cairns from Arakoon,
From Cowan. I am from Arakoon, but I live in Cowan. I've moved there 5 years ago. We do travel like 5 to 6 hours on the road just to be able to come down here and, just share my art.
Well, thank you for coming all this way to share these beautiful weavings with us. Can you describe them a little bit for our listeners? So I'm sitting in front of them now with you looking at these beautiful weavings, but can you describe your artworks that you'll be exhibiting at Cairns Indigenous Art Fair and what, you know, what their meanings are, what their meaning is to you?
All of this art that I do is made from natural resources, stuff like pandanus, cabbage palm, feathers, that is, our food resources that we gather, but we also put it into our art for cultural purposes. We do have a lot of cultural ceremonies, and I guess with me as a young person of my age, I'm very honored to have such a knowledge passed down to me from my elders. I would love to see this more often in the communities and just share, I guess, teaching culture, because it's very important to pass it down from generation to generation.
And what is the knowledge was shared with you when you were learning to do these weavings?
Just gathering of how art has become and collecting materials, but also the cultural knowledge itself, with storytelling, just with your elders, like, it's amazing. But what's passed down, I guess, like, it's just awesome.
What do you use the weavings for?
Mostly just cultural ceremonies, such as, like, we have back in the days there was, like, you know, burials, we do have house openings, tombstone openings, the occasional weddings, and sometimes as gifts to your close family and friends. Most of these were made for cultural stuff. Back in the days they used to make dilly bags and baskets to carry their stuff, their food, and the gatherings, hunting stuff.
How long would one piece take you to make?
Some can take up to 3 months, some can take up to 2 days. just depends, like, when you're feeling to do it, and if you want to do a big piece, okay, this is going to take longer than and then a normal piece would probably take like 2 weeks the most. I like to expand, you know, go above and beyond and explore.
And how do you get the vibrant colours in your...
We have two natural plants. So everything is natural from the ground, the birds. So the roots, we do have a bloodroot tree, which is, in my language, we call the pa'am, that makes all the dark colors, the reds, the blacks, the purples. And then we have the yellow plant, which is we call waik, that makes all the oranges, the yellows, the lighter colors. Mm-hmm. So you know, from those two colors, you can make all these beautiful colors out of them.
Yeah. What is it about Cairns Indigenous Art Fair that you are excited about, or what excites you the most?
What excites me the most? I think just putting my artwork out there, firstly, because it's pretty big for me, because this is my first exhibition and going into KIEF the first time. So yeah, it's super exciting. I hope everyone will love my artwork. And I hope I make my family proud.
Yes.
But yeah, very just super excited, over the moon excited. So,
that's really exciting to know that this is your first exhibition. It's probably one of the biggest in the region. So that's, you know, congratulations, and I'm really excited for you. you're beginning of your exhibition journey, but what's been your journey with art so far? Like, what has art meant to you?
My mother was my biggest inspiration in art and culture and knowledge, and yeah. So to carry this on, I guess it's my mom.
Yeah.
So everything up there is to do with my mom. And my grannies, because they all live in me, as you can see. No matter where I go, I still carry culture with me, so. But yeah, my mother is the biggest inspiration in all of my artwork.
So, you know, all of the stuff going on with COVID-19, KIEF, or Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, has decided to put all this artwork out to the world via a digital platform this year. So you're obviously, you've got some physical works in town. What do you think about this going out via a virtual gallery, you know, on a digital platform? Like,
still awesome. going digital. I would love to go in like how KIEF would normally go about. But it's still amazing that there's this technology that you can still put it out there and share your work with all this technology.
Do you have at this point like a website or something that we can tell people to check out your work or something like that?
Not at the moment, but I am getting there slowly. Yeah. I have been sharing just on my Facebook page, my profile, and then I have a lot of family and friends that just share it.
Yeah.
And then, just sharing it out and just showing everyone, like, all my artwork and, But I'm getting there slowly, so...
Well, if you send it through to us at BBM when you get it, we'll be happy to share it. excited for that, and regardless, it's beautiful, and it sounds like you're sharing something really personal as well. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. And is there anything else that you'd like to add, like to all of our listeners out there? Maybe you've got some friends or family listening to our radio station. Is there anything that you'd add that you'd like to say to everybody?
Just so that, you know, everyone knows that culture is, you know, very important, and it's so important that we should pass it down for our next generation, and just keep our beautiful culture alive, I guess. And just be an inspiration. to your young ones. And thank you to Ashley from Northside for encouraging me to go ahead with all my artwork. It is such an honor, I guess, to be here and get this far. So thank you, Ash. And also to my beautiful family and friends, and especially my little girl and my partner for always being very supportive and getting me motivated, always encouraging me to do the best I can. So I love you. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. You are tuned into Boomer Bipper Radio 98.7 FM. This is Carly Willis, and I've been chatting to Rhonda Wooler, Wick woman from Aracoon, who's here chatting to me about her exhibition at the Cairns Indigenous Art Fair. Thank you.
You are listening to the Kayaf Hour on BBM.
Hey, this is Shawnee Chilbert, and you're listening to BBM Radio on 98.7.